flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I don't know why. I don't know why it hit me this way yesterday. It wasn't anything I read. It wasn't anything I saw. It wasn't somebody giving their opinion on something. It just, for whatever reason, you know, I'm just thinking about the Alex Bregman situation with the Astros and how the Astros are just kind of sitting here, you know, waiting around. I honestly don't know. I don't know if Dana Brown is super excited to bring Bregman back at this price based on where the Astros are versus the luxury tax. Like, every inkling you get from Dana Brown is like, yeah, you know, the door's cracked. Oh, that's right. I got to call Scott Boras back. I totally forgot. Yeah.
I'm taking everything with a grain of salt at this moment, including the initial report that the original deal is still on the table, frankly, because that just doesn't make any sense to me. So I think there's so many moving parts here, and we don't know exactly what either side is thinking, that I just know it's a possibility.
Yeah, and so if the original offer, 6 years, $156 million, is still on the table, then I, for whatever reason, I went from like 4 on a scale of 1 to 10 to 11 on a scale of 1 to 10 to... They need to give him a date. They need to give him a drop dead date and say, we are removing this off. At this point, all he's doing is using your offer as leverage. If he wanted to be an Astro, he would have said yes. There's nobody else out there in this neighborhood that he wants to play for right now. So I got agitated on behalf of the Astros, just like, okay, let's be a man about this and tell him, what's today, Seth? January 30th? So you got till Sunday to figure this out. You got February 2nd. It's going to be February. I don't know if you know this. Pitchers and catchers show up in February. Players show up in February for spring training. It's happening soon. Give him a date and say, I know you're Alex Bregman. I know you're a franchise icon. Take it or leave it. I feel like the Astros are just getting used for this Hail Mary of a $200 million deal right now is starting to piss me off.
it can't be a Daryl Morey deadline, like when he was going to trade Oshik, and they said there was a deadline.
Monty Yunus,
that's right, sorry. It was a Turk. Monty Yunus isn't a Turk. So it was some guy from over there, and he said,
big tall
listen,
white guy.
We're going to trade him by this date, and that's it. Yeah. And then the deadline passed, and Daryl Morey said, well, you know, these deadlines, sometimes they're not hard deadlines.
Yeah.
No, it has to be a firm and tough deadline for Bregman. That, yes, the deal is either there, it's there until this date, and then it's not, and we got to move on.
Yeah, we can only go by what we're seeing. Like, you know, Scott Boras is not giving us a ton. You know, Dana Brown gives us what he gives us. Again, I think Dana Brown's is about an open book as there is for general managers. Like, he's pretty, almost to a fault, like, kind of honest in these press conferences. So I take his demeanor now to be honestly, like, how he feels and how the franchise feels about this. This definitely feels like whatever is being stirred more from Bregman's side. And if he's that if he's that anxious to stir the pot with the Astros like that, well, damn it, take the offer. If you're not getting anything in the neighborhood, like, it's like, again, it's February on Saturday. Like, we got to get going on this thing.
I like the thought of Scott Boras just sitting out there twisting in the wind.
Oh, I do too.
I would love it. I would love it if I found out eventually that Dana Brown actually didn't have any thoughts about bringing Alex Bregman back, but he just wanted to let them feel it a little bit. They're like, I don't know. All right. Well,
it feels kind of like what he's doing.
I know. I'm like, maybe I'll get back to him and maybe I'll send him a text that's simply, sup, to Scott Boras. What do you got for me? I'm not the one doing the talking here, little Mr. Yappity Yap. You got to be the one doing the talking.
It was kind of a power move by Dana Brown. Hey, Ben, do we have the Dana Brown? Dana Brown, like, you just, in going back through the audio yesterday, like, the my favorite part of the press conference that we didn't really dig into too much was this part right here.
Well, I owe Boras a call. He sent me a text, you know, today, so I'll probably end up getting back to him.
this is
high school relationship drama to a T. This is, and I feel like Dana Brown right now has got the upper hand.
Oh my God, that was the most relatable part of that, because I've got, like, at any given time, I've got like five or six people I owe a phone call back to.
Oh yeah, well, you've got the upper hand on them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So are any of those people, like, desperately waiting for your answer?
I don't think so. No.
Is it a business situation of any variety?
No, yeah. No. If it's a business situation, they get a call back for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. You know where I go. If there's a trail of money, then they will get a call back.
This might be the end of maybe Astros players at least firing their agent to go work with Scott Boras, because Scott Boras is the money train. I mean, Correa, granted there was the medical issue, but Correa, it's not like it was an easy process for Correa. And he ended up getting a really good deal in a place that he doesn't seem or never seemed all that crazy about. Remember, when they asked him about living in Minnesota, he said, hey, they've got Netflix.
Yes.
That's your Chamber of Commerce moment right there. We've got Netflix.
Minnesota, we've got Netflix.
And, you know, now Bregman gets it, and it's not just a clear, uncluttered path to riches just because he has Scott Boras as his agent.
Yeah, look, we don't know how Bregman's thing is going for sure.
I think Keuchel was with Boras, too, the year he sat around until summertime.
He may have been. I think you're right about that. Look, it's been hit or miss with Boras over the last 5 years as teams have gotten... By and large, teams have gotten a little more savvy about these long-term contracts. I mean, there's some teams that just don't care, you know?
Yeah. It's Dallas Keuchel, May 6th, 2019. Dallas Keuchel said he received offers. Some his agent, Scott Boras, recommended he seriously consider.
Yeah.
So, and remember, it would still be a while before he would sign.
June. It would be a whole other month until he signed that season. Bregman needs to...
Get off the pot.
But the Astros need to initiate this. If I mean, they're the ones saying, and Dana Brown is saying there is still a line of communication between the two. And I'm being dead serious. Like, give him a date then. Like, give him a date and force him to do something as it pertains. Now, if he says no to the Astros, that's fine. But we're not going to be this cuck that's just sitting there with this 6-year 156. Holding it, clutching it in our hands, waiting for him to do something.
Well, he's still out there gallivanting about the league, talking to other dudes.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
No. I'm not gonna be a schmuck for you.
That's right.
You're gonna go out there and dilly dally with the Cubs and all these other teams. Like, no. All right. By this date, this is the ultimatum. Yeah. But you got to hold to it.
So we got two things. So in the opening of the show, we talked about the Texans OC. Which is your favorite watch right now? Bregman watch, Texans OC watch, or Rockets trade deadline next week watch? Which is your favorite watch of all those?
I expect something to happen in one of those watches, mm-hmm. which is the Texans watch. So I'm going to go with the Texans watch.
Yeah.
I don't expect anything to happen with the trade deadline of note other than maybe a minor transaction or something. I mean, there's been 0-0-0 hint that the Rockets are really all that interested in making any kind of a move.
Correct.
Or at least certainly an aggressive move with one of the bigger names. And it all makes sense. You know, a lot of people have pointed out various moves teams have made to get over that championship hump. And the vast majority of the successful ones are done in the offseason. It's in this team too, especially bringing somebody in that might be good on paper, but might also disrupt the chemistry. No matter how good you are, there's always a learning curve with Kevin Durant with the damned Warriors, and that was already a really, really good team. So I don't, the midseason trade for a team like this as it's composed, I just don't have a huge appetite for
it. No, I don't either. Not the way things are going right now, for sure. Nick Cayley is way out in front. Oh, wait, hang on a second here. Nick Cayley. All this guy's ever done is be a tight ends coach. It could end up being a wonderful idea, or Cayley could end up being Bobby Slowick 2.0. Sure.
He was the passing game coordinator with the Rams last year, yeah, for whatever that's worth. It's, yeah, Sean McVay's offense.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Bobby Slowick was the passing game coordinator with the 49ers, but so was Mike McDaniel, mm-hmm, and Matt LaFleur before him, correct? And yeah, so it's whoever it was. So there's a huge crapshoot element to hiring a coordinator, especially if you're going to go with somebody who hasn't been a coordinator before, and that's just the uncertainty you have to live with until we figure out if it was a good hire in round about October or November of this coming year, of, yep, this coming season.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cayley versus the others is both outside the organization, and he's from outside the organization and has the most credible resume. That's why I voted for him. Chip Kelly still intrigues me the most. I think, look, if we were doing a popularity contest, maybe I should do that today. Remember back when remember that era where the Texans searched for a head coach every year from, yeah, 2021 through 2023 or 24, whenever it was? Three years in a row they were searching for a head coach, and I did those approval polls on Twitter where I'm like, hey, quite simply, if the Texans hired Eric Bieniemy, would you approve? Yes or no? Should I do that for these OC candidates too today? Should that be a project where I'd see if they approve Nick Cayley, Bill Lazor? Should I do the approval polls for all these guys and see what the public
just
thinks of them?
Just what the actual approval
just
rating
yes
is?
Yes or no? Would you approve of the hire?
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Would you approve of the hire? Because I think we're heading towards a place where the Texans are going to hire somebody that the fan base is going to be very mixed on right now.
Yeah. Matt LaFleur was an offensive coordinator with the Rams before he was hired to be the offensive coordinator with the Titans for 1 year before he got the Green Bay head coach.
Okay.
And that's the Titans one. It wasn't like they had a great year or anything. He got the job as a head coach the next year. But when he got hired to be the offensive coordinator for the Rams, again, all right, it's Sean McVay's offense. Mm. It feels like more of a nominal title than anything else. You have more responsibilities in terms of game planning and execution and all of that, but it's just it's just different when you're underneath an offensive head coach. The best argument for hiring a coordinator who wasn't a coordinator before but was in-house was D'Amico Ryans, and because,
yeah,
he had never been a coordinator, didn't have a lot of coaching experience, his playing experience factored in heavily in all of that. But he did really well with the 49ers, so it's not like and I've said this all along, my parameters are, yeah, I would prefer a guy who's got actual coordinator experience, not just because of the play calling side of it, but because of the coaching the entire team side, mm-hmm, of it, coaching all the position groups side of it. But it's not like any of those are, you know, 100% set in stone, because there's so many examples of various guys that just hit it out of their park in their first time as a coordinator.
Yeah, yeah. How involved is CJ in this process, do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah,
That's another big crapshoot. How much do you involve the quarterback? generally, I think you ask for their input, but you don't also want him to be in the position of the guy who's making the decision.
Rubber stamping it. Yeah.
Yeah, for the quarterback's own sake, it's always really dicey when you allow the quarterback too much into it, not just for the organization, from the organization's perspective, but from the player himself. You know, you don't want players to start looking at the quarterback as one of them instead of one of us.
Yeah.
It's dicey. It's always, and it's unique to every situation.
Text message. It's funny you bring up True Detective, Seth. I just watched a commercial. I watched this yesterday, too, where Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, they revised their True Detective roles in a commercial for advocating more production companies making movies in the state of Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if it was, I don't know if it's running during the Super Bowl. There have been some Super Bowl commercials that have already dropped ahead of time. There's one that I saw yesterday where Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal are reprising. It's a Hellman's commercial. They're reprising the scene in When Harry Met Sally where she had the fake orgasm at the booth there.
Yeah. And oh, is that what that was?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was too young to understand what was going on. I thought it was food poisoning.
Or cheering something on the TV in the diner there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why
I thought it was so curious that the old lady said, I'll have what she's having.
Yeah.
She was like, that's food poisoning, lady. What are you doing?
Why would you want that? Meg Ryan, she's aged better than Billy Crystal. That's my hot take on that commercial.
Has she?
Aged
in terms of like actual physical appearance or with career and
physical
whatnot?
Appearance. Okay. Yeah, I have no idea. With
oh, really?
Career. Yeah, yeah. She looks.
I haven't seen Billy Crystal in a while.
He looks like an old man. It's no crime. You know, I'm just saying. Like Meg Ryan looks. She still looks pretty good. You know,
does she look good or does she look like she's all bloated up with various substances?
No, I don't think so. I'd have to go back and watch. I watched it last night, and I'm like, no, she still looks pretty good. She's got to be. Well, that movie was 1987, so we're talking 30, almost 40 years ago that movie was.
So she's at least like 60 or 70.
Got to be mid-60s at least, yeah.
Well, good for Meg Ryan.
Yeah, she's doing good, man. That's good.
You know, Hellman's
money, yeah.
The movie I can remember where I was too young to know what was going on was when we were watching Ghostbusters, and I was sitting next to my mom, and I remember this is the first time I realized I had a career in comedy. Was without even with you know unintentional comedy.
Right.
Where people are laughing at me more than with me.
Yes.
Was we're in the scene in Ghostbusters where I think it's Bill Murray asked the old lady, "Are you menstruating?" And everybody laughed and it got quiet and I turned to my mom and said, "What's menstruating?"
At the top of your lungs in the theater.
And that got a big laugh. I was like, "Yeah. I'm talented, damn it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I am.
Someday,
I don't know why everybody's laughing, but they thought that was funny.
Someday I'm going to be in Ghostbusters 7. Yes. all right. Payne and Pendergast. Hey, we're on our way to the big game on Radio Row on Sunday. We're all leaving to head there, and we'll be on the air on Monday live from Radio Row. It's going to be fun. Big thanks to Flight by Yuengling for not only loading us up with cases and cases of beer, but sponsoring our trip there. We're really excited to be partnered with them on this, with the Low-T Center on this as well. Exclusive Furniture sponsoring the hot seat where our guests will be sitting when we interview them. And then the live stream will be up and running from Radio Row. You'll be able to watch us on the live stream thanks to Mokarem Injury Lawyers. Up next, headlines. It is a big day for interviews for the Texans. Big night for the Rockets tonight, man. They're trying to do something I don't think anybody around the NBA thought that they were going to be able to do a week ago. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.